I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ho, 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 gentlemen.
Who are you calling a hoe?
The holidays have come early this year as Manscaped have the gift that keeps on trimming.
Santa's beard isn't so appealing when it's coming out of your trousers. And that's why Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, have you covered this holiday season.
Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped to keep their trees trimmed and their ornaments polished. Go to manscaped.com and use the code 2OLDQUEENS for 20% off and free shipping.
Kill two birds with one trimmer and get yourself and perhaps your rotating list of partners a gift. We're talking about the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0.
That's right. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll get the signature lawnmower 4.0. The electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to reduce cuts on your nuts.
And it's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. So, like, you know, you're not leaving a lot of trimmings everywhere. Because we know you guys, you know, classic dude, they love making a mess.
The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Crop Preserver and the Crop Reviver. It's an anti-chafing ball deodorant, moisturizer, and toner.
It also comes with a pair of anti-chafing boxers that is the perfect wrapping for your presence, let's just say.
I love my boxers. It feels like I'm not wearing anything.
It also includes everything you need, not just your groin. Clean up your fucking head with the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, because as you get older,
those hairs really come in.
And it's easy for men to like forget about them. And it's so easy and fast. The hair trimmer is waterproof, uses the 9,000 RPM motor power 360 degree rotary dual blade system. And if anything appeals to a man, it's a 9,000 RPM motory power 360 degree rotary dual blade system. Doesn't matter what it is.
Wow, you really sound like Tim Allen when you say that. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new refined cologne, which offers a light yet masculine, pleasing fragrance that will leave your partner on the naughty list this year.
And it's also made with hypoallergenic ingredients that are vegan, cruelty-free, nice, dye-free, and even better, paraben-free. What are parabens? I don't know. I think they have something to do with plastics. So 'tis the season to load up on Manscaped products. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, your lovers, your grocer, your mailman, anyone, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0.
You get 20% off plus free shipping with the code 2OLDQUEENS. That's T-W-O OLDQUEENS at manscaped.com.
Clean up your chestnuts and make Santa proud this year. Be on the nice list. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code 2OLDQUEENS. That's TWOOLDQUEENS at manscaped.com.
Yes. Once again, that's 20% off, TWENTY percent off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code 2OLDQUEENS, TWOOLDQUEENS.
And now on with the show.
One is Mark and John's the other. They love the holidays and the presents. It's Dual Queens, it's Dual Queens, it's the Merry Happy Holidays Jubilee. It's Dual Queens, it's Dual Queens.
Five golden rings.
Hello!
Welcome to Dual Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited for the gift that is our guest this week. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
You could throw away the receipt because they're an actor and comedian who you've seen on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Let's Be Real, Fairview, and they've become something of a front-facing comedy superstar on Twitter and Instagram. It's Lisa Gilroy.
Hey. Hello.
Oh, well, are you making fun of us? Wow, that is so rude.
You know what, Mark? I thought you were going to say she's become somewhat of a... And I thought you were going to say friend. And I was
she's
so
become somewhat of a friend.
When you said front-facing comedian,
she's on my maybe list.
Yeah.
Honestly, we'll if I could happens. Be on your maybe list, I'd be thrilled. I'm always wondering if I've made it or not.
Totally. I mean, I've been at two parties where you've been at, and I've always been like, oh, a lot of comedy people are impossible to talk to. Lisa, you can talk to.
Oh,
Lisa's nice. Great. Lisa's a good, like, oh, Lisa's, there's at least someone, if I'm in dire straits, I can, Lisa's a good touchstone. She's always got her shit together. You can turn to Lisa.
I feel the same way about you. I also know I'm going to get like a decent hug from you because some people, they don't want to be touched in that way. And I really need the like chest to chest contact.
I love mashing people with my chest. What can I say?
No, I'm more of a like newborn. You know how newborns need like tummy time and like a skin to skin. I'm like that.
I see. Okay. Would so that fresh. Be one of we your love languages?
Yes, that it. Is my number one love language.
Physical touch.
Tummy time?
Yeah, tummy time.
Tummy time. Now, Lisa, are you a big fan? This is coming out 3 days before Christmas. Do you give a rat's ass about Christmas or does it warm your heart?
Do I give a rat's ass or does it warm my heart? Those are my options.
Those are the two options.
One of the two. There's nothing
okay,
in between.
So it does warm my heart, but I can't give a rat's ass about it. No, I love
the rat's ass are so valuable these days.
Yes. I love Christmas because I get to go home to Canada. So I feel like that's become, you know, I've had all of the religion squeezed out of me by life in Los Angeles. So I no longer believe in any sort of birth.
Is Christmas at all different in Canada?
I mean, no. The only thing that's different is Thanksgiving. Like we don't care.
You don't
about
have it.
We have it, but we don't care about it. And
okay, it's like a turkey sandwich.
Well, it's a turkey dinner, but you might be like, "Oh, I'm not coming," and everyone would be like, "Okay,
that's fine."
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
Whereas, nobody cares like you guys are buying plane tickets and traveling across the country to be with your turkey family just a mere month before Christmas seems a waste of money to me.
I mean, I used to do that, but then I realized like, oh, I'm going back. Like, and my family's only up north in Sacramento, so it's not that big of a journey. Oh, but still, I'm like, I'll see you guys at Christmas. I'd rather just stay down here.
Mm-hmm. I will say this, as someone who is married, who has a family on the West Coast and the East Coast, it's good in that because we alternate, my husband and I, so this year it was his family for Thanksgiving and my family for Christmas, and next year we'll switch. If there was just one holiday, that would be weirder. But that would be a harder conversation because it's just like, because it's like at least once a year we all get together on both sides.
Oh, right. And do you consider them equal in your mind, Thanksgiving and Christmas? Or do you like throw a,
I mean,
a
they're different things, but
like
I think I don't care because also like we're old enough that I'm like, I want more toys. Although I always get the most toys of the most gifts of all of my siblings. It's like a joke in my family, which I love because I get the most presents. But yeah.
Well, do you consider your husband's family equal to your family?
I would say they're separate but equal. Yes, okay. I love my husband's family. They're a lot of fun. It's very different because they're much. It's a much smaller hang. It's just his sister, her husband, his mom, and their two kids. Whereas I have three siblings, six nieces and nephews, and then like a lot of other family that's around all the time.
And you guys are always bursting into Christmas carols.
My family's always singing. Yeah.
Aww. Okay, but John, I have to ask you about receiving the most gifts because that means that you have the most like loud interests. I think. Because everyone's like, oh, buy something for easiest. John. You know, he collects his pennies sure. or whatever. Like, it's right, so right. easy.
I feel like, I think it's what it was. I react the best of all of my siblings.
So they're like, he so loves it's like, whatever
it's the
we
gift
get
I give back to the person who gave me the gift of being like, they feel better because like, he really enjoyed that gift.
So really, there's no like interest that you have that you get the same kind of gift every year?
Like another owl salt and pepper shaker set.
My
something.
Mom always gives me something that's made of Lego.
Something that's it? Made of well,
something
Lego?
Like a Lego thing or toy. Because I was like that as a kid.
Oh, okay. A Lego set. But she's not going to, she's sort of, not yeah. about to build it for you and then gift it to you.
No.
Oh, no. That's not. That's
here's Hogwarts Castle, John. Hope you like
the
it.
Lego by being like, I've already built it for you.
Well, you said she gives you something made out of Lego.
Okay, yeah. I worded that pretentiously.
You don't
and
sound like someone who gets Legos every year.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
It's usually like a little bit. Well, then I just leave it at my mom's house so my nephews can play with them.
Why don't they just give it to the nephew?
Because a bit was established when we were younger that I always get the most gifts. So my mom always makes sure that I get more gifts than my brothers and sisters.
Well, I used to get Mad Magazine in my stocking
yeah, exactly.
every
it's more
year,
of a committed to the bit. That's fun.
Your mom's a classic comedian.
She's old school. She doesn't know when to stop. It's kind of the problem, but I'm okay with it.
Confessions of a Shopaholic based on Putty Flynn, I believe, right?
Putty, but thank you. Yes.
Putty, sorry. Well, Putty. She's like putty in my hands. She's been on the show.
She has, yes.
Do you have, like, we always get, like, a new board game every Christmas. Like, there's always, Santa always brings a new board game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
We get one, too, and usually it's from Santa as well, because Santa knows how to give a gift to the entire family at once, and he's the only one that can do that.
He's good at that.
Yeah. My mom used to, like, go to the length of, like, leaving out a roll of wrapping paper on Christmas Eve, so we wouldn't wonder why Santa had the same wrapping paper we did.
She didn't just buy like a different roll of wrapping paper.
No, she's we're saving every penny. Yeah. Thrifty.
So sweet. And so she'd like get up in the morning and be like, oh, Santa forgot to put away his we must have borrowed our wrapping paper.
Fucking hate Santa.
Wow.
But then we did wonder why. Well, eventually I don't remember ever learning that spoiler alert that Santa wasn't real.
Gotcha.
Like I don't remember that moment happening. I think I just always figured it out. Also, we did.
Wait,
know,
are
like,
you the
is...
oldest? No, you have an older brother.
I'm the youngest.
Well, you're the youngest.
Mark, please don't say you always had it figured out. That sounds incredible.
I just don't remember learning that, like, it wasn't a thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't remember the shock of, like, what? Santa's not real?
Oh, funny. My older sister one day, when I think I was, like, 5, was like, you know Santa's not real, right? And I was like, yeah, of course. I didn't know.
Oh, my God.
But I played it cool.
So casually brutal.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like saying, you know, mom and dad don't love you, right?
Like, I learned when I was a kid because I was starting to have my suspicions. And so I put a piece of paper in the chimney. We had a real chimney. And so I put a piece of paper in there saying, like, Santa, if you have come down this chimney, please sign here. And I taped it to the inside of the chimney when no one's home. Because I was like, if he comes here, he will be the only one up there. And of course, no one signed it.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Imagine if like one of your parents had signed it. That would have how much longer do you think you would have believed in Santa Claus if one of them had sort of somehow found it?
You know, this is like a really there is a person that is a friend of a friend of a friend, okay. far extended, who believed in Santa Claus until she was in college. And she found out in college that Santa wasn't real. And before you roll your eyes, her family went like so fucking balls to the walls on this idea that they told her when she was like in elementary and all the other kids were starting to be like, Santa's not real. The parents sat her down and they were like, look, this is an inevitable part of growing up. Other kids are going to start realizing that Santa isn't real, quote unquote, but he actually is like an extended family member of ours. And we're still the only family that he visits. And we have like a special relationship with him. And so when other kids talk about it, you need to tell them like, yeah, he's not real, but just know that he's like our
she
Santa.
She bought it.
Oh yeah. And because also in their family, Santa would put up their Christmas tree. And that was the parents would say like, that's what? How you know, like he's our Santa, like he's our great extended whatever. And the kid would come on a Christmas tree.
True. Gaslighting.
But then when she found out in college.
She must have like done heroin a week later.
I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
what
know
is real?
What happened. She must have got drunk or something and they were talking about it and she like let the cat out of the bag that Santa was a close relative and everybody started roasting her for it.
That's even weirder that not only does Santa exist, he's a close relative.
Like your mom dated him in college.
Yeah, right. I know, but then she went home and she like told her parents and they were devastated. They were like, we didn't think you were going to believe this long. Like they thought that she, every time she talked about it, she was just like joking or playing the game. They didn't know she genuinely was still believing.
That still feels like child abuse to me. Like, what is the end game of like, no, let's double down.
Yeah, that's true. That doesn't make any sense.
And that woman grew up to be Justice Sonia Sotomayor. You know, speaking of devastating realizations, today we're in our home stretch of Holidays Jubilee 2021. And today we're talking about the Princess Switch. John, what's the deal with the Princess Switch?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with the Princess Switch. It was directed by Mike Rohl with a screenplay by Robin Bernheim and Megan Metzger. And 1 week before Christmas, a duchess switches place with an ordinary woman from Chicago who looks exactly like her, and they each fall in love with each other's beaux. The film stars Vanessa Hudgens, Sam Palladio, and Nick Sagar. It was released on November 16th, 2018 by Netflix. Linda Holmes of NPR praised the movie's acting and called it a pleasantly frothy and ridiculous film while criticizing unrealistic aspects of the plot. It was followed by a sequel, The Princess Switch Switched Again, in November of 2020. And then The Princess Switch 3, Romancing the Star, premiered in November of 2021. And that is the deal with The Princess Switch.
So Lisa, we asked you to pick a holiday movie and you chose The Princess Switch. Why The Princess Switch?
Well, I saw Vanessa Hudgens once and also it's on Netflix.
Had you seen it before? So you had never seen it before?
No.
Are you a fan of these like Hallmarky kind of like saccharine rom-com Christmas movies?
I have been known to maybe like smoke a doob and watch one for a laugh.
Lisa!
Canada! Okay, doob is not what you guys think it means. It's something else. It's different.
Oh, it's like sage.
Right, right. You sage your apartment and then
Yes. Mm. And so I really only watch them too. And so this one was really hard for me to watch because it wasn't like as bad as I normally like them to be for it to be funny and not like a good Christmas movie either.
Right. It's in a weird gray area. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So I do like the ones that are really bad. Like give me the lowest budget movie where like one scene takes place in one room for 35 minutes. You know, like there's no location changes. There's no art on the walls. I love that kind of movie.
You're going to love 12 Angry Men. You seen that?
No.
You gotta watch it. Not Christmassy. In fact, it's a hot summer day. But so you had? Did you enjoy, or was it like a drudgery getting through this thing?
Well, I already told you guys I was building my toilet furniture today. So building the toilet furniture took me longer than I thought it would, and so I did spend the second half of the movie watching while building the toilet furniture.
I think that's the perfect activity to do while watching one of these movies.
I think you probably did the best, yeah.
Yeah. We had laptops open and we're taking notes. So you were actually truly productive. Now, are you hooked? Are you going to see how this trilogy continues? Are you going to watch the other two?
I'm so pissed to hear you say that there's a trilogy because the whole time I was watching, I was thinking like, these women just discovered each other. You have an identical twin in the world and all you want to do is soak her up for your greedy little swapping purposes for one day. You don't even want to get to know her. You don't want her to be a part of your family. Like the idea that there's more events like this where they're just swapping to do mischievous things. I'm like, just go for coffee with your sister. Get to know her, you know?
Trace the lineage. Well, the second one, they introduce a third.
I thought that happened in the third one, but no, that's
no. She's like a bad one. She's
what?
Jewel thief. Okay. In the second one.
But then they told me that. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a spoiler.
And you could tell though, as soon as you pull a Princess Switch 2, it's the poster. You see like this blonde one now.
Vanessa Hudgens in a blonde wig holding a bag that says jewels on it.
Yeah.
So, but you guys, like, can we talk about this? Because what is going on? How can there be three identical? Like,
I kept thinking while watching this movie was like, this is a franchise? Like, it was a sort of very mild, like very like banal Hallmark holiday movie. Yes, well acted ish, you know, like, but it felt like it felt like an extended Gap ad. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it just, and I was like, they were like more of this, but I guess Netflix with whatever their numbers are, they're like, yeah, we want algorithms.
So John, I love Vanessa.
That's what I was thinking. They were like, we want to get in the Vanessa Hudgens game. Like we want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm.
John, was this your first time watching it?
This was my first time watching it. I had heard of it. Like, I'd heard people talk
in
about
the buzz,
it.
In the
like,
zeitgeist.
You know, it's out there. It's in the conversation. And it always seemed like something I was like, oh, that's something I'll never have to engage with.
Sure. So,
but then along comes Lisa.
Same with her sitcom, I believe. Along comes Lisa.
Which I love. I've watched all 5 seasons of. So watching it, I was like, yeah, this is fine. Everything's completely pleasant and okay. But again, I kept thinking like they did more of this, but then I was like, oh, maybe that's when it gets good. Like sort of like part of the fun of-
I've seen the second one.
Oh, really? Because like part of the fun of something like a Fast and Furious of like, oh, right. Well, now they have to just make it insane because they have to keep topping themselves. So I was thinking like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, I would love it if they did 8 of these and they just added another Vanessa Hudgens.
Like every single one.
Like and had to just figure out a way to like make that happen. That I could sort of see like going crazy. But you're right. Like it wasn't bad. It wasn't interesting, fun, or, you know, it was just sort of like fine, like a slightly underbaked cookie.
Right.
Yeah.
But she did squirt some tears out though, which I found very impressive.
She did. And she was delightful. Like there's no, like, I don't have like criticisms.
No
it.
Notes.
I don't, you know what I mean? I mean, notes, but not criticisms. Sure.
No,
you know what I mean?
That fine notes.
Line.
That, always going to have notes. Zone.
Yes. But how about you, Mark? What is your history with The Princess Switch?
Well, I had seen this before, and no one should ever have to rewatch these movies. They're meant to be, because like the ideal way to watch any of these Hallmark movies is to just turn on, like not having to choose which one to watch. Like just turn on the Hallmark channel and just have it like, you miss like the first 90 minutes, it doesn't matter. You will be caught up in 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. So watching this a second time and then remembering that I had seen the second movie already, this first one looks like Sleepless in Seattle compared to the second one. Like
really?
This one.
Wow.
Yeah, the second one's pretty dire.
Is it like bad or just bland?
It's just bland. But she is having fun as the evil one, but they
the
all
the second one is bland when there's 3 identical women.
I remember thinking it was worse, but I couldn't tell you. Do I remember anything that happened in it? No. Absolutely not. But I do. This one is, it was interesting watching this one because I watched a ton of Hallmark movies. Okay. Then these Netflix ones, though, just have like, it feels like maybe 20% more money. It just feels like they're just a slightly better production value, just like a smidge better production value, and just a little more plot. There's just a little more going. Like this one actually kind of has a plot at times, a little bit.
Yeah, it even had like a C plot when the girl came in and cut the cord to her mixer at the cooking competition. I was like,
Linda.
Oh shit, they're
which
adding
like never paid off though, because like we cut from that to like here's the cake, and it's like, well, I guess not having a mixer wasn't a problem.
Yeah, well, remember, John, the judge almost didn't give her first place because she was like, oh, your inner custard is a little chunky, she said.
Yeah.
She had to hand mix.
Emotionally.
What if she was just like, oh, my arms are exhausted.
And it's also just like, to ask us, we're adults watching your film. Like, please don't ask us to believe that there wouldn't be a producer there that would go, oh, sorry about that. Here's a new mixer. Like,
right,
we're
I was
not
like,
children.
Whoever the producer is on this TV show is so lax. Cause they're like, first of all, she gets cast from a picture and a recipe. Like there's not extensive interviews. There's not send us a video package. It's just like, we send a picture and they're like, sure, why not? We're sending you airplane tickets and flying you out to wherever this magical country is.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys, we're talking about the International Christmas Baking Competition,
right,
which is kind of a framing device, not really, for this movie.
It's like that. It starts off and it seems like it's a big issue.
The big
and
reason they go to this country in the first place.
70 minutes, we forget about it. And then for the last of the third act, they're like, oh, right, that.
Right.
Let
it's
me
so ask true.
Guys, was that baking contest televised?
Yes, there's cameras.
There was a camera. I only saw one person on a camera.
It was probably like
one
like
tripod
at a hotel, like in a hotel. Like,
it's like what television. Is the budget for this production of the baking contest within the movie? They're
That's
using one
true.
Camera. It's going to look like shit.
Well, and they also had a live studio audience for a 5-hour baking competition, and they're just going to sit there and silently watch them bake.
And I've never seen a more deadpan group of extras. So.
Oh my
feeling
God.
Nothing.
Extras stood out to me the most in the very end when they had their big kiss. And there was
there
extras
were those
just
guys
like
who were
deadly
like, I'm getting right in between the two of them.
And they were just staring like expressionless. It was like a big celebratory kiss. And they were just like, oh my God, that was really distracting.
They're like, I'm on camera. Yeah.
I mean, well, if you see like two strangers kiss, do you like think anything?
I go, okay, first of all, I scream whenever anyone kisses on television.
Really? That would have been amazing.
Genuinely, I can't stop.
Like in horror or delight?
Like in like, I don't know. Maybe it's like disgust. It's a mix of all of it.
Sure.
And then in real life, like, I feel like I would want to scream, but I would do like a big facial expression and then I would turn to whoever I was with and go like, they're kissing or something. I need to say something.
Gross.
I'm not, I really can't be chill when people are kissing. It's like, it affects me too much.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest Christmas movie, holiday movies, all of them ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category that will be added to the wheel. Don't worry about what that means. We'll explain it when we get to it. Stop pressuring me. Okay. God. Anyways, this is our current top five gayest holiday movies. So this is what you're up against. In fifth place with a 60.68%, the Thanksgiving incest classic House of Yes. In fourth place with a 61.99%, Adam's Family Values. In third place with a 65.21%, Die Hard. In second place with a 65.76%, Mean Girls. And in first place, the current gayest holiday movie ever with 66.49% is Meet Me in St. Louis.
Okay,
Lisa, so if you had to guess now, how well do you think The Princess Switch is going to do?
Well, I feel like, okay, I've only seen half the movies that you just mentioned.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
And they're all pretty high budget, like good, real good movies.
Yeah.
So I can imagine The Princess Switch will be somewhere in the toilet furniture I just built and nowhere close to this list.
All right. Okay. So below 60, you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be, because it seems like, I mean, from this list, this is tasteful. These are like gorgeous.
Very movies. Tasteful.
Yeah.
Well, Vincent Minnelli knew what he was doing.
So this first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category, Lisa, what would you give The Princess Switch on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Oh my God. In 0 to 100 in actual gay characters.
Well, we could talk about it. That kind, the first one was the kindly old man who seems to like travel through time and space.
Okay. So I did take notes for the first half before I went to my toilet furniture and sure. wrote down, his name. I referred to him as Scabbers.
From Harry Potter.
Yeah. So he was a bit of a magical Scabbers and you're right. He was like teleporting all over the place.
He's in Chicago, then he's in Phil.
He made me uncomfortable. Garvey. I'm not going to lie.
Was it the eyebrows?
There was just something creepy and almost pedophilic about him.
And he was a bit disheveled and like a little sweaty and a little red. Like, where did you... I agree. He had like a...
And there were a lot of shots that were almost up his nose. Like, he kept like making the choice of like cocking his head back. And I was like, why are we looking up your nose, sir? I don't like
Right. Okay, so wait, you think he was gay?
So I thought, well, just because he was so, I thought just because he was so into the royal family and like, well, then the prince is doing it, like, who else is going to love the royal family?
Oh, okay, but you know who was, I actually did think for a second was gay, was the guy who was like obsessed with following them. Like it
Franklin?
Felt like he didn't Frank. Yeah, right. It felt like he didn't want the prince to be in love with that girl.
Right, because he wants like the prince for himself.
A very devoted manservant, if you will.
Thank you. Right. Get right. it? You. And what about the lady, Mrs. Donatelli? I thought she was very like you Mrs. Havisham from Rebecca.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She was great in this movie, but I will say I found her presence extremely distracting because she just looks like a woman I've done improv with. Like, that's what I feel like her... You know what I mean? Like, she didn't look like...
She doesn't seem particularly regal, maybe.
Yes, like I don't know. It's like I'm sure she's great in so many other things, but she just looks so much like someone that I know, or like
she should have a lukewarm Bud Light or something. Backstage.
You're talking about Queen Caroline?
No, not the queen.
Mrs. Donatelli.
Oh, the servant or like the handmaiden to the princess.
Yes, the handmaiden.
But do you guys know what I'm talking about? She didn't look.
No, I definitely agree. I also felt like the king and queen no way felt elevated.
Right.
like, I mean, maybe it's just because we've seen Diana the Musical and Spencer recently, but I was like, they're just like anybody else. Because
there's
the
one
other
thing you
too,
take away
like,
from the Diana the Musical, it's the elevation of royalty.
Right. Well, you cast Judy Kaye, you get a certain standard. Absolutely.
But sure. John, I would agree though, because I also just watched Spencer and I've been watching The Crown, and it's so funny to see them play royalty in this movie. And they're like sitting at the breakfast table, which is like a long regal table, of course, but right. they're like up against a white wall.
Yeah,
like in a castle, you don't see people ever sitting by a wall.
They're cover a tapestry over that.
Yeah.
They're in the middle of like a gymnasium sized room.
Right.
Disgusting. Anyway.
And she's also like wearing clothes. You're like, you could have steamed that. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
there's, and I was like, they didn't seem elevated from anyone around them. Like they didn't feel like, oh, these are the highest status people in the room. They were just
and
like,
also the way they talk to them, like we've all watched The Crown. We know it's all like, you know, your highness and curtsying and whatever. They were just like that. At one point that guy came in and talked to the queen. Who's like, excuse me, ma'am, is your husband around to look at these documents? Like it just was so
like, sir, you are talking to the queen.
Yeah. Well, also it's like, oh, like they're just like walking around their castle, I guess it, you know what I mean? Like they're not completely, it just.
Nobody knows.
But it also felt like anytime I had those thoughts with this movie, I thought like, why are you criticizing this movie?
Yeah. Like, you know, even like, if he told them the creators of this, they'd be like, so
we made like, two others. We made this for $20,000. That was our budget.
That's so true. Okay. I'm going to give it a score of like 4 out of 100.
There was one other character I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
And this is a bit, it's a bit of an inanimate object, but that hat that said Chicago, I thought that hat might have been gay. Because who else? Favorite musical, maybe?
That's true.
And does anybody still wear a hat? I think given, and some extras and stuff, I'm going to go 33.
Yeah, I'll go, but no one is like out and gay, so I'll go 20.
Correct.
Given an average of 19, which is 1.67 points higher than Gremlins 2. That's pretty good.
Right.
All right, our next category, gay icons. Are there any gay icons in this movie?
I mean, I think there's a way in which Vanessa Hudgens is kind of building the resume.
Yeah.
Like
She's got the High School Musical franchise. She also has like Rent Live,
Tick Tick Boom.
But she also like has
Tick Tick Boom.
But she also has Spring Breakers. And I wish she was like lean more into that than into like the High School Musical stuff.
She didn't get onto my radar until March 2020 when she made an Instagram video that said, quarantine until July sounds like a bunch of bullshit. It's a virus. I get it. I respect it. Even if everybody gets it, but people are going to die.
But I mean,
and then she said her comments. Then
she
said her comments
like,
were
taken. I respect it.
She said her comments were taken out of context. They're like, no, they weren't.
Yeah.
You provided the
post.
Context.
Yeah.
So for me, that almost made her gay icon status even higher.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, she made a terrible Instagram post. Great.
And I think if she was not already a gay icon before this movie, seeing her with in that like pink suit with her fake British accent just really skyrocketed her credibility.
Yeah. I've never seen the High School Musical movies. Am I missing anything? I don't feel like I am.
I saw the first one years ago when my nieces and nephews were very young, because I watched it with them because I was an adult when they started to come out. And I was like, I'm not going to like this. But I was like, well, if I watch it with these young kids, it might be fun. And so what was very funny is my nieces were like 4, 6, and 8. And so they were like, and I remember watching with them and I was like, you know, this isn't what high school is like in reality. And they're like, you don't know.
Right. Uncle John's here.
Right? And the other thing as I remember is like, they like got up and were dancing along with it.
Cute.
And one of my nieces said, how do they all know all of the moves to do? And my youngest niece went, I think it's magic.
Oh,
and so I was like, all right, okay.
And you're like, listen, you little shit. It's called a dance.
I was like, we're watching Grease when this is over. You're gonna see what high school is really like.
I'll show you what high school kids really look like.
Stalker Channing in her late 30s.
So what do you want to give this for gay icons?
Just I guess I'm gonna give it 44.
44, they hudge, pulling a lot of weight.
Well, she's the main character and there's two of her.
She does, she does pull like a Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
She does.
I will give it, I think Vanessa Hudgens has potential, but she also might not like realize it. So I will give it a 31.
You should play her Flamey Lips. Do you realize?
There you go. I hope she does. I'm rooting for her.
I don't think I am, but okay. I'll give it a 20. She's fine. She was good in Tick, Tick, Boom. She didn't have to do anything, just sing. She has a pleasant voice.
She does have a good voice.
But it got an average of 31.67, which is 1 point lower than Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. That's devastating. all right, our next category, the male gaze. And by this, we mean how horny is the camera for the male form?
I mean, we get Kevin straight up shirtless.
Thank when you, he needs Kevin. That toothpaste.
Thank you, Nick Sagar.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I caught myself thinking some things about him that I was wondering why. What's my problem? Maybe you guys can help me.
Okay, let's talk it out.
I was seeing this man in his like shirt. I know we saw him without his shirt on, but even with his shirt on, I caught myself thinking like, just, I don't know. This is like a hot take, but like, why all the muscles? Like for who? It just, it feels like weird. You have a shirt on, you have like, what are you, just like a dad who sometimes bakes? It's like, it's not necessary. You're not like a mechanic or like a farmer. Oh, right. Like what's with all the bulk? Like, I just found it kind
it's the opposite of bulk.
No, that's bulk. He is bulky. He must he's taking protein shakes in the morning.
But if to see abs, you have to be super lean.
Like, yeah, it's but not he about had, like he had pecs and muscles. He was lumpy.
It's fine. That's fine. When you're shirtless, it's fine. But just to be like a man in a t-shirt on a Christmas day, it's like, it's not necessary. It's not needed.
So you're like, is
Christmas
there,
is
there
not a horny holiday is what you're saying.
Well, I was distracted. It was the scene when they were watching the movie together and it was like their romantic time. And he's like, do you want to watch a Christmas movie? And she was like, yeah. And they're like sipping on their little tea. And it was like a cozy, precious moment. And I could just see this vein in his arm, like so aggressive out of, for no reason.
Drink
like,
some water.
Put a sweater on, drink some water and chill the fuck out.
Be soft. Soft.
Be soft for Christmas, dude.
Dude.
Yeah. I mean, sir, it would dramatically make more sense if, as a baker, he was like a little doughy.
Yeah. I mean, so to speak. Anyway, so many questions about him even as a baker. What kind of baker is he? Why?
So do you not go? Is that not your type then? Like, do you not, are you not, or is it like if he was like a surfer or something, like a professional surfer?
Sure.
If it makes sense for your job or your hobby,
pulled you out dramatically, and that's what was annoying to you.
And because all I can think is, as a single dad, you're like fucking off from your responsibilities so often for so long to work out.
Yes, you're working out like six days a week, two times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bad, so too many muscles equals bad dad.
I honestly think so, yeah.
Probably.
But did you enjoy seeing, though, like, devoid of any context?
Void of judgment in that
void way. Of judgment, like, if you just saw, like, that, a gif of him entering shirtless looking for toothpaste.
Yeah, well, I feel like I'm going to give this a really high score, actually, because that's what I'm saying is it felt so forced and, like, it didn't belong there that I feel like the movie existed for that.
Yes, they're doing it to make you be, sure. to titillate.
Yes. They wanted to tickle me and titillate me.
And instead they started a conversation.
Yes.
Which is the opposite of titillation.
No one titillates me without my consent.
I would hope not. What about the regular dopey prince?
Sam? Oh, Sam. I was surprised. Was I was like, oh, when's his shirtless scene coming? But it never
happens. Never came. And neither did I. Let me
because, you know, he understood the assignment. It's a Christmas movie. You keep your jacket on. So I actually like that guy better.
It's form. Christmas is the most form. I used to, when I was a kid or like teenager, be like, I got to dress up. I got to put on my nice shirt, tuck in my shirt. But like, our family never went anywhere. We stay inside all day. Now I'm like, what am I doing? I'm going to wear a hoodie and sweats all day and just be comfortable. It's Christmas. What? I got to dress up. Yeah.
I still kind of get a little bit fancier. I wouldn't wear a hoodie. I'd wear like a nicer sweater just out of respect for the holiday, sure. I suppose.
For Christ's like birth.
A themed pajama.
A themed pajama. Yeah. If you're going to go like sweats and a hoodie, you better have some Christmas theme on there, like a snowflake or something.
I don't have anything Christmas.
Well, next year.
Sorry. Are the Gilroys like, we're all wearing the same pajamas?
Family? No. Oh, I think that kind of thing is just an utter waste of money and material. Because you
it's
like
for the
what's
gram.
Your Christmas pajamas you can only wear for a few weeks out of the whole year.
At most.
Legally.
Well, legally, or you're arrested. Well, what do you want to give this for the male gaze?
Definitely. I mean, there's only two guys that we ever really saw in a steamy way. I'm gonna give it like 20%.
20.
We do have like a scene that you can tell like, oh, this is to be like, here's some eye candy.
Yeah.
So for that, I'll give it a 35.
That's 35. When that guy was shirtless, right?
Yeah. For yeah. toothpaste. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
the most we've had in a very, since Scream 3, I would say.
Probably. Yeah.
But it's just like very, but I'll give it a 30. Give it an average of 28.33, which is 5 points higher than The House of Yes. And then I have Freddie Prinze Jr. shirtless.
How do you do this so fast, Mark? You got a spreadsheet in front of you?
Yes. That's exactly how I do it.
Well, you must be really good at Excel because you're entering a thing and it's categorizing itself immediately. I would
it's
never
got
know
really
how to
fast
do that.
Fingers.
I wow. have fast fingers. I can alt tab like nobody's business.
Wow, good for you.
Thank you. All right, our next category: entrances with pizzazz. I mean, I would say the princess, the first time we see the princess who looks like Vanessa Hudgens is like a little bit of a moment. Like, I think they pan up from her feet.
Oh, right? Yeah. That's definitely.
When they but go horseback riding, they do like a weird slow-mo thing. So there's something of like, oh, here's how, like they're pretending to give a shit about the entrance.
Oh my God, that's right. They had her walking in slow motion in her yeah. little riding boot.
Oh, yeah.
And then she also had her big like ball entrance moment with her dress.
That burgundy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked good, but there could have been more. More but again, burgundy? Like, I guess I just wanted more burgundy.
Yeah.
You're good. Like more fanfare to the entrance of the, you know what I mean? Like she's supposed to be like,
you're thinking Beauty and the Beast
to the prince. Yeah. But also like, I don't know. I just thought like a fanfare, something of like, here she is. She's entering the party.
Yeah, but John, exactly. You saw the extras that we were working with. There's no way we could ask exactly. those people to do something
sure,
like that.
I'm sure they're like, they tried to choreograph something. They're like, these people can't do
they
it. Could.
They just roll their
Let's
eyes.
Let's just have her turn the corner and there she is. The dress is the moment. It's not
the
about
dress
anything else.
Says everything yeah. we can't. Mm-hmm. There was also, I thought it was very funny at the wedding. There's this dopey kid who comes up and she goes, you're a real princess now, yeah, aren't yes. you? Who is she? What is? Have we seen her before?
Yes, she was the little girl from the orphanage.
From the
Mark?
Shelter. That wasn't an yes. orphanage. That was a family shelter.
Okay, well, where were the parents, Mark?
I don't know.
There was
they
that
weren't
old
there
lady.
For the Christmas party.
I was wondering that. I was like, do orphanages, are they like around in America and
so.
The UK? It feels like we have better systems than just to have a bunch of kids in one
I'm
place.
Sure there are still orphanages.
In outside of North America, for sure.
For sure. Now, what about showing up in a horse-drawn carriage? Pretty pizzazzy.
I mean, that's pretty pizzazzy.
Did that happen?
Yes.
So they rode around in one. And then
you were probably screwing
in
a shelf into your yeah. toilet furniture.
Okay, I didn't tell you guys what happened with the toilet furniture. Because, oh, you know, no. It's like one of those shelves that stands. It has legs on either side of the toilet.
Oh, you weren't adding armrests to your toilet? That's what I was thinking.
So it has those spindly little legs. And there's supposed to be a piece yeah. of wood that connects the legs together. So that they don't spindle yeah. all over the place. Right? Like rock right. side to yeah. side. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I have to put it over the toilet before I add that piece because I have to shimmy it over. And then yeah. I put it on the back and I basically built it into the toilet because then it goes behind the like plumbing and through the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, so I missed the horse-drawn carriage.
I wouldn't say you missed much. But you know what? I bet that your toilet furniture is stable in case of an earthquake.
Yeah. It is stable. I drilled some holes into the walls.
Ooh, you went all wow. the way.
Mm-hmm. I really did. Safety first.
That's safety not going first. Anywhere.
Well, what do you want to give this for? Entrances with pizzazz.
You're right. I mean, the music and the slow-mo does it, but there was no general fanfare. So I'm going to say 31%.
31.
Yeah, I'll go 34.
I'll go 29. It's not very pizzazzy. Given an average of 31.33, which is tying it with The House of Yes. Wow. All right, our next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence? I think it's pretty light. I mean, it does yeah. like sexualize a hunky dude. Like that would maybe make him hot under the collar.
Yeah, that would be like, this is a family movie. This is not something.
Yeah.
But I did feel like it was very, I mean, and the princess and the engagement, it's like they never even slept in the same bed. No one ever had sex in this movie.
No. This could have been made with Barbie and Ken dolls.
Yes.
Oh, do you think like I thought the princess switch was like referring to her clitoris or something? Is that what she said?
The sassiest princess thing that was down. Said in this whole movie was at the beginning when they're at the cooking thing. And then the girl's like, oh, I'm the rival chef. I went to the same actual cooking college as you. And then she's like, oh yeah, I remember you. Didn't you sauce the professor's berries? She said.
Right.
And ooh. I was like, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, that is so, it felt so sassy and sexual for like for the
it's
context
like the first
of the movie.
5 minutes.
Yeah. You're like, oh, we're in for a raunch fest.
Well, because also this is how I felt in Emily in Paris when she brought out her vibrator. It was like just such a weird tone right. shift immediately for no reason. But didn't you sauce the professor's berries? Shouldn't you say, didn't the professor sauce your berries?
Right? I think you should.
I mean, who has more sauce to offer at the end of the day?
Well, he's got the berries. Professor. That was the thing.
The professor, obviously.
Or does she have the berries?
But wait, we never actually named a gender of the professor.
This is true.
That's true.
It's like you could toss the salad of a man or a woman.
Right.
That's true. But we're talking about berries.
Yeah. And sauce.
Berries are like dessert salad. If your berry sauce is like or a cheesecake topping.
Berry sauce?
Do you guys cook? Do you know what saucing berries would, like if you were on a cooking show?
I would think you put it in pot with sugar, right? I would think you put in sugar and like you reduce it. Maybe they're always reducing syrups.
Yeah.
Do you know how to do it?
No, that's why I'm asking. Like maybe there's a sexual understanding that we're missing. Because if you sauce someone
else's
you
put your dick in it is what you do, I think.
Sauce?
I think it was supposed to be her wet vagina on his nuts.
Vagina on his nuts?
Well, just like the sauce of her vagina.
Tessmuth's roasting on an open vagina? Is this what you're saying?
That's not what I'm saying at all. Maybe sauce I am saying berries. That. Oh, wait,
you know
hold
what
on.
I bet it is? You gave me an idea. I don't think it's vagina on balls. I think it's mouth on balls.
Oh.
And I think you will find the director's cut where Vanessa Hudgens says, oh yeah, I remember you. Didn't you put your mouth on the professor's balls?
She still said berries. She still said berries. Yeah. And they're like, we're only halfway through this metaphor.
Your mouth on the professor's berries.
Yeah.
Well, we'll never know.
Okay, so sorry, what was the question?
This is the Mike Pence anxiety scale.
Okay, I think that one sentence would have thrown him into a dizzy, but everything else is pretty good. But he is an uptight guy, so I'm gonna give it, I don't know, I'm all in the 30s. I'm trying not to be this way, but
that's
36?
Okay.
You gotta just that's the movie. What'd you say?
36.
That's the movie. Yeah, 36.
I think it's so mild, so inoffensive. We have these slight moments we've talked about. I will give it a 17.
17. I looked at Christian Spotlight on the Movies, my go-to for insight into evangelicals. They did not review this movie, but they did think The Prince of Tides was very offensive because they showed healing through therapy and not through the power of Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Okay. Wow. So they didn't even watch this one because they were like, this is too sinful.
This is too sinful. Yeah. Our eyes will melt.
Oh, God.
I'll give this a 20. I can't imagine him liking any rom-com because like single people doing anything.
Right. Probably how dare they?
Arranged marriage.
All right. Our next category, Hell on Heels. By this, we mean feisty women. Well, there's Brianna. And
well, Paul's new girlfriend, like at the very beginning when she ran into her ex, she was kind of bitchy. But we
that
never saw
insane.
Her again.
That was something I really did pick up on, John, that moment when he came out of a storefront.
Yeah.
A Christmas store.
The worst. Yes.
So imagine you're walking down the sidewalk. You see a man come out of a storefront and then he's quickly followed nearly 15 seconds after by a woman who runs up to him, kisses him on the mouth and says, hi, honey. You guys just both came out of the same fucking store. I saw it. So what do you do? What is this?
It's performative.
It is.
If that was you would have screamed. And said, we just came out of the same store.
Do you see that?
Literally. But like, that's fine to have a kiss, but don't say hi, honey, as if like you just saw him. Like you were
right. As if
together.
It's been 8 hours apart.
Right.
It's disgusting. They're one of those. They're probably like a new couple, you know, because I don't know how long have they been broken up for.
3 years.
She was still upset.
Three years?
Wow. No, she was with him for 3 years. I can't remember.
Oh.
Yeah.
But she was going to his family's house for Christmas, so it was a little bit serious, Mark.
Yeah,
that's true.
I wasn't even sure, like, were they engaged? Did they say fiance?
I don't think they did, but it would be very this movie to have it be that way.
Gotcha. They would have told us if it was fiance.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's true. She would have dangled a ring if it was fiance.
Yeah.
So what do we think? Any other feisty ladies here?
The little girl was a little bit feisty.
The assistant, she was kind of feisty.
Yeah.
Mrs. Donatelli.
Mrs. Donatelli.
Mark never misses an opportunity to say Mrs. Donatelli.
That's Mrs. Donatelli.
Yeah, there wasn't really any other sassers.
The daughter was like the a little bit sassy. She wasn't hell on heels, but she was a little bit like, can we watch more The Nutcracker, please?
That made me laugh
when her dad was like, how was class today? And she was like, we did The Nutcracker. I was you don't do The Nutcracker.
You don't know what school she goes to.
Okay, I'm going to give this
entire Nutcracker.
I'm going to give this 16%.
16.
I'll give it a 24.
24. I'll give it 18 for Miss Donatelli, giving an average of 19.33, which is the lowest we've had. That's 1 point lower than To Grandmother's House We Go. And that's an Olsen twins movie.
It has Rhea Perlman in it, though.
Oof, brutal.
Wow.
All right, our next category, Chosen Family.
I mean, they choose to switch lives.
But that's not a chosen family.
But they also choose there's the lots other of choices person's family.
Okay, can you know, so like, explain like the category boyfriend. To me? What do you mean the category?
The chosen family, family is it's like it's sort of like people who are like, oh, my family's rejected me, so I've chosen this group of friends, and this is my family.
And we're when all you're from like, I don't go home for Thanksgiving.
I hang out with this group of people who we are not maybe blood family, but we have chosen this bond as opposed
oh,
to
I love
we
that. Just,
it's big in the gay community.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Improv community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there's a big, I mean, yeah, that the guy and his daughter. I mean, I wrote down who the fuck are these two in the first half of it because they were there for yeah. so long. I was like, who are you? You're not her brother. You're not her husband. You're just floating around.
Type, you're my sous chef, which I don't think you say in baking circles, but maybe I'm wrong.
And like, yeah, that's, yeah, that doesn't seem right.
It was so weird that she kept going like, what was her name? Steph? Susie? What was her name? Stacy. She keeps going, oh, Kevin, whatever. Like, clearly he's perfect in every way. Right. He's like a doting father. He's a hot guy. He's like a hard worker. But like, she just is like, for script reasons,
he's like a brother.
Blind to his appeal. Right.
Well, that's so funny that you say that. Because as soon as they switched and the princess went back to her hotel, I was like, oh, that's why he exists. He can't right. be right. her brother because then he wouldn't want to fuck his own sister.
Like, unless he's never seen this side of her before.
That's the John Waters version of Princess Switch.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess chosen family is kind of a big part of it, but it doesn't feel in the quite Mark the like nice community.
This is not a chosen family at all.
It doesn't feel it in the vibe that bit. You're talking about. So I'm going to give it like, 30%.
30?
That's too high.
That's fine. That's I'm fine. Also going to go
it's in the record
because I do think it's like a plot twist.
It is
like
not. There is no chosen like family happening. There is no group assembled group of people from disparate backgrounds coming together.
V-Hudge and B-Hudge are both going, I'm choosing this other world. I'm choosing this other family.
That's not a no, they're just like, hey, cover me while I want to chill out.
No, but think, Mark, like, think about the end when the royals the are there and then the baker girl is there and they're all together and they have this
so
little
two
girl.
Straight people getting married is a chosen family. Okay, no, we are not gentrifying this about term. Chosen. We're not gentrifying this term. You
okay, can't. I want to change my answer. Okay. I want to change it to 72%.
Okay. And mine is 2. So there we go. Giving it an average of 34.67, okay. Which is still insane.
Too high.
All right. Our next category, macabre. How macabre is this movie?
I thought the kindly man was macabre. I thought there was something so dark and weird and creepy about
what's
him.
What's dark about him?
I just felt like he, the second he's alone with that little girl, he's going to touch her.
John!
That's just what I thought. I just thought he was so weird.
That actually makes me think like, okay, there is something deeply unsettling about this movie, which is at the end, when the dad finds out that the woman that they have been sharing a home with is not who he thought, like that woman was tucking his daughter in at night.
It's crazy.
And she was a stranger. That gives me the deepest willies I could ever imagine.
Right.
Like imagine also, as a parent realizing that the person you thought tucking your little girl in at night was someone you had never met before. Like that's
was like
so
pulling
spooky.
A weird stunt. Yeah.
Like even Stacy knows like, oh, the kid's fine. She's with the princess. But like, look at Prince Andrew. Royals are fucked up people.
Yeah, exactly. Like we can't don't just trust her in... because she looks like you.
Right. Well, I trust what people that look like me.
Well, you shouldn't.
I thought they treated like Stacy's breakup at the beginning like someone died of cancer or something. Like you had a breakup, you're fine.
Yeah, you're in your
and
20s.
How long ago
you're
was
okay.
it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Jesus. You have a successful business in Chicago,
a tough city, tough city.
But she's making it work.
I think doppelgangers, and they explain this in the Spanish horror movie The Orphanage. Doppelgangers usually mean someone is close to death.
Ew, what?
Like if you see your double, that means you're kind of close. In like the folk history of doppelgangers, that's what it means.
So, but when you say doppelganger, you don't mean like when how people use it. colloquially. Like,
you right. I mean, like in the movie, like you see, like, oh, I just saw myself.
Oh, running yeah, yeah. Okay, that bar, would be very scary. But like, I'm not close to death because people tell me I look like Kristen Bell.
I've actually been meaning to tell you. you're frozen.
Oh, no.
Also, I also thought that indoor stable we've talked about was connected to the castle. Like, there's an indoor stable with, like, dirt on the floor with chandeliers connected to the rest of the house was disgusting. You know how much dirt are you tracking in? And, like, horse shit is, like, wafting through the house?
Yeah, it just, like, comes off the kitchen.
I thought it was nasty, right? Disgusting.
Okay, so that is going to add to your macabre points?
Absolutely.
If this were in Smell-O-Vision, definitely.
Okay. Yes. I guess I'm going to say, if we really like stop and think about what's happening here, I'm going to give it like 25%.
25.
Yeah, it's everything is just so mild. Like nothing really gets creepy except for our own brains making it creepy or like go running wild with it. So I will go 22.
22. I also thought a secret handshake involving a squat was macabre. That's rude. Also, how did Franklin fall off the balcony? He rests his foot in front of him, meaning he should fall backwards, but he puts his foot in front of him, then somehow slips forward over the balcony.
That was such like a Home Alone 7 moment. Like when it's just God damn.
Who cares? No one's paying attention. I'll give this a 20 in macabre, giving an average of 22.33. Which is 72 points lower than Fame. All right, our next one, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting here?
This is like all the same lighting all the time.
Mm-hmm. No matter what the emotional tonality is, it's bright and cheery.
No matter what time of day it is, no matter where they are.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 1%.
A 1, brutal.
I'll give it a 6 just for Christmas lights.
You got to give something for Christmas lights. The drama of Christmas, the most dramatic holiday of the year.
I think Halloween's more dramatic than Christmas.
You would hope.
God, please.
I'll give it a 5. Give it an average of 4, which is 1 point higher than To Grandmother's House We Go. All right. Finally, Lisa, the last of the canon categories. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The Princess Switch to a gay person?
0.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Say don't to look away.
Yeah, because I feel that fundamentally that a gay person would not feel seen by me if I thought that they would like
this. Oh, I see.
Like, gotcha. I feel like this would destroy my relationship and my credibility with this person. Because you said to a gay person, which I feel like to like specifically choose someone I know who's gay and be like, oh, you're gay, you'd love this. Like, that's wrong.
Yeah. That would be an insane move.
Yeah. So 0%. Because I don't know. I mean, even my most basic straight friends, I don't know that I would recommend this to them.
Would you recommend this movie to Vanessa Hudgens? Oh,
I think she's probably seen it.
I don't know.
If you're her agent, would you say you should make this movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a franchise. So in that way, sure.
And I'm sure she really thought of it as like a delicious acting challenge. To be in the most cartoonish way to be like,
sure, sure. You like get to
royal
play two different parts.
And an accent for
you get
one
to
girl.
Do this, you get to play with accents and posture and all this stuff. And also, I would say, like, I don't think I will say this in its favor. There's nothing about this where I feel like this ruined, like, dinged anyone's reputation.
Just that old man, apparently.
Well, but you know what I mean? Like, Vanessa Hudgens is not like, oh, we can't put her in, we're not going to cast her. She was in The Princess Switch.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean, like, she's fine. She does a very lovely, like, she is charming.
But it's not like she had that far to fall.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but it's also like she's got stuff going on. She's part of the Tick, High School Tick, Musical franchise. She's
got stuff happening. Like we got her manager right here.
Yeah. Looks like she's set. Well, what's her next move, John?
As I said before, I wanted to go more in the Spring Breakers realm right now. I think that's what she needs to do a little bit more. Like, she's done a lot of musicals.
Sexy indie.
Yeah, something surprise us. Like, but also, like, that's the risk of, like, Elizabeth Berkley. She's like, I'm going from Saved by the Bell to Showgirls. As long as
Vanessa love for Vanessa Hudgens to do something along the lines of Showgirls, though. Something fun and that we remember 20 years later. What a nightmare.
Yeah, but let's not act like Elizabeth Berkley didn't pay a price for Showgirls.
She absolutely did. But I think it was worth it in the end. For me personally, I'm doing great.
You don't care.
I don't care. So what are you going to give this for likely to recommend to a gay person, Lisa?
I gave it zero already.
A zero for the record. Locked for the in. Record, locked zero. In.
I'll give it a 15.
15, like for the Vanessa Hudgens of it all.
Exactly.
I mean, I am glad it did send me down the wormhole of like, I did Google her quickly and it's like, oh yeah, that COVID thing.
Yeah.
So that was fun. So, and I'm glad I went back down that wormhole, but it's pretty low for me. I'll give it a 7. Given an average of 7.33, which is still bad. All right, now we are into the wheel categories. We mentioned those earlier. Spinning wheel.
Spinning through. So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone, as you can see right here.
God,
so what we're going to do, so many, right? Over 100.
Too many, someone said.
We're going to spin it once, whatever category randomly pops up. We will judge the movie using that category. Then I will pick a category to judge it by. Then Mark will pick a category off the wheel to judge it by. And finally, you will come up with a category, which we will add to the wheel, which we could possibly use to judge future movies with.
Love
that make
it.
Sense now?
Yes, love it.
Okay, here we go. Let's give it a spin.
We love a spinning wheel.
Okay, here we go. From the movie Julie and Julia, aggressive haircut.
Oh, yeah. Great.
The princess one was,
right? Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was like so like from the set 50s or something.
Yeah, well, this movie also needs it because they need to be like, this is this one, this is the other one.
I wear a Chicago hat. She wears right, yeah. a tiara.
Neither of those are haircuts, huh? But yes, that idea.
I also do feel like at one point, okay, you know the like how ladies have sideburns? Like if I wear a ponytail, I could like pull little pieces out. Mm-hmm. I feel that Vanessa had those glued on to her face in the beginning. Sure. In the opening yeah.
oh,
shots.
Right.
And that was quite a hair choice, I thought. I mean, I'm sure.
Like a Betty Boop curl kind of thing.
Yeah, and it was Liza just like glued cabaret, on, yeah. like a, you know, just a little curl there right in front of her ear.
Disgusting. For sure. Are there any, I think that's it for aggressive. Everyone else is pretty.
Everyone's pretty bland.
Right down yeah. the middle, real yeah. super cuts vibe. Well, so what do you want to give this for aggressive haircuts?
I'm going to give this a 4.
4 locked in.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 8.
8. Who cares? 7. Great. Right. Average of 6.33. All right, now it's John's turn to choose a category from the wheel.
Okay, so I'm gonna choose one that was an OG category that has been moved to the wheel, and that is makeover montage.
Oh.
Because there was that montage of Vanessa Hudgens'
learning.
Characters learning how to be each other.
There it was some sort so of... much of one girl just watching the other girl.
Yeah. That walking went on. So I've long. Never seen this. I wrote this is the first time I've felt a makeover montage overstayed its welcome.
Yes.
Usually well, they're over no too outfits. Soon. No, where's the clothes?
And then there was one where she like was by herself and she tried on exactly one hat. And then
yeah.
he came to the door. She was looking at herself in the mirror saying, okay, look at me in this hat. Went, opened the door and then had the audacity to act embarrassed that she was still wearing this hat. Like she was like forgot she was wearing
right. She's an idiot.
She's an idiot.
She was jet lagged.
There isn't. So what do you, would you give this for a makeover montage?
Oh, a fee. I give it like 8.
An 8.
I think it's pretty like establishing like a huge part of the movie. So, but I agree. It's not iconic. It could have been more fun. It could have been more extravagant. Again, we're talking about a $20,000 budget, we think. So I will give it a 39.
39. This wow. thing, how much do you think this thing cost? $7 million? $8 million?
How much do I think it cost?
Yeah. I think under 5.
I think it probably cost like 15.
All right.
Dollars?
The answer is something in there. I'm going to give this 36. Giving an average of 27.67. And now it's my Trump Titanic yes. wearing somebody else's clothes.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's most of the movie.
That's pretty much, yeah, most of the movie.
Oh, do you think that's your category? Wearing
the category is wearing someone
that's
else's
my
clothes.
Category. That's yeah, from that's, Titanic.
I'm going to give that 100%.
100.
Yeah, I'll go 100 too.
I don't think they watched them either. You know what I mean?
I think that no. was the lowest priority these characters.
Well, and
having.
Also they didn't even bring their own toothbrushes to the other one's house. It was like they just took everything.
They just switched phone cases.
Literally.
Which I thought was weird too, because it's like, well, what if someone's texting you and you're like, hey, you have to text back this other person.
Right. I feel like switching isn't worth it.
In the end.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It'd be better to get to know your long lost identical sister than to play around these foolish games. Like,
yeah, why don't you just tell people, I need a break. Can I just have like a few days on my own?
Exactly. Right.
No, I agree. There was a way in which I wish there was, it was slightly more clever where like they accidentally fell into it as opposed to like, let's do this now. Okay. Because right. also sort of the Stacy character was like, I came out here to win this baking competition. They're like, no, go ahead. Pretend to be a princess and we'll forget all about, you know what I mean? It just felt like a whole lot of that going on. But again, every time I felt those criticisms, I thought, you're watching The Princess Switch. Like, why are you thinking so?
Yeah, hard? Nobody cares. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makers don't care.
Mark, are you going to tell us how much it costs to make it?
No, I have no idea.
Interesting. This podcast feels a little bit to me like the Mean Girls cafeteria table where you're just like, Lisa, what do you think of this? And then I say, and then you're like, so you agree. You think you're really pretty.
Let me see. I'll see if I can find out the budget. What does Wikipedia say? Wikipedia says nothing.
Doesn't. It's Netflix. They're not.
It's Netflix. They're not going to tell you. That's how they keep the negotiating on their side.
Mm. Well, yeah, I'm sure all the budget went to Vanessa.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Well, all right. At least it's come for you to come up with a category that we can use to judge how gay The Princess Switch is in all future movies ever made.
Okay. Well, I guess. Well, budget doesn't really have anything to do with being gay. Right. So my category is going to be inappropriate styling, like inappropriate costume choice. So because for me, what's standing out to me in this movie is like, I don't know if you guys noticed how short her skirt and how high her heels were when she was reading books to those children. I was
and
like,
when she plays Twister.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like actively on panty watch. Okay. And I'm not a pervert normally.
So you think that makes a movie gayer?
I think I kind of get that. Yeah. Like wearing the wrong clothes for the wrong situation. And then
also, I don't know if you guys noticed in like the ballroom scenes and like the weddings and stuff, there was extras wearing full on ball gowns. And then they had like a little tacky little like purse on their arm. Like it just feels like extra with a purse at a fancy royal
at a ball.
Like it just is like, who gave you a purse?
Yeah. Check that.
Check that, bitch.
Bitch, check
or
that.
Leave it at your table. Right.
Well, what would you give The Princess Switch an inappropriate costume choice?
Well, I mean, like everything else, it's just been like vanilla hovering around in the 30s, but I would give it also something in the 30s, like 38. Let's bump up the top 30s.
I'm going to say because the king and the queen did in no way feel elevated, especially the queen. Like she was just like, here's a blouse that I had at home.
Yeah, right. This is my office wear.
I wear this. Yeah, I wear this when I'm when this is the audition for the commercial. Yeah, I will give it a, what did you give it, Lisa?
I give it 38.
I'll give it that should not affect your choice, John. Well, Keep it.
I'll give it a 42.
42. I'll give it a 40, right in the middle. Give it an average of 40. All right, now we are into the bonus categories.
Extra, extra. So these categories are bonus, as the title, as the overall category title implies. So we're voting, we're scoring it from 0 to 10, and this is just percentage extra bonus points it will get. So okay. If it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's not going to work against the score. This is just again bonus.
Okay.
All right. The first one is musical potential. Could you see them making a big brassy Broadway musical out of this?
Maybe not a big Broadway one, but definitely something shitty. Sure,
I think like you. I actually think
it's theater or something.
Right. Black Box, experimental.
I mean, I don't know, but it does feel like it weirdly lends itself to that.
I think it totally does.
I think it 100% does. I think this definitely should have like a big crazy treatment and that would.
Okay, well, John just said 100%, so you have to write that down.
I said
okay.
I heard a percent. I'm going to say 40%.
Well, it's 0 to 10.
Yeah, 40 is my answer. 0 to 10. Four. Okay. Out of for musical potential, I mean the potential is there, brothers. I'm gonna give it 7.
7, because you could pretty much. Why isn't the baking competition taking place at the castle? You could just have it all in one location.
That would make sense.
That would make sense. I mean, does that make sense?
No, called Sauces Berries at the baking competition.
Sauces Berries. We all know you, Sauces Berries.
Yeah.
Oh no,
that's a villain because that's a villain song.
I always like in a musical where there's a group of people singing like two, like assaulting one person. And there's one person in the musical number who's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very funny
thing. You're crazy.
Get me out of here. I can't leave. I love musicals, but sometimes they're dumb.
Uh-huh. 100%.
John said 100. What are you going to give it, John?
I'll give it a 9. I do think it would make a great musical. I think the only thing that I think would be impossible, which is part of the fun of Princess Switch, is that Vanessa Hudgens gets to play two different roles. I don't think you could pull that off in a stage musical to the extent that you do.
It would kill the actress. Yeah.
It would they have too many scenes together.
You would just
together.
Have two actresses with the same... It's theater, right. Baby. Just have two.
It's theater,
that,
baby.
But I'm saying you don't have the fun of, oh, it's one actor playing different roles against themselves.
Yeah, what are we going to do without Vanessa Hudgens? How will this production continue?
Exactly.
Interesting.
It's still a 9.
A 9. I'll give it an 8. I feel like you can only do this at Christmas time. When do they start? October, like Christmas music, and they go through January?
Oh, yeah.
That happened every year. If you got a good one, you're making money every year.
Yeah. All right. I just want to see a big Christmas tree fall on the audience at the end of that one.
Forget that chandelier. I want a tree to fall on someone.
All right. Got an average of 8. And our next category, queer menace. Are there any queer menaces in this? I would say Franklin is the only like queer menace in this.
Yes.
The prince is like right-hand man.
Yes.
That kindly old man.
No.
The spy.
The spy, right. The guy who falls off
the manservant. Right.
Yeah.
But he's I also the think closest. The kindly old man's a little weird. But yeah.
Oh, I see.
But he wasn't really a menace. He was trying to do good.
Yeah. I wanted more of a payoff from him, like he was their weird uncle from generations ago or something like that.
Like
or
Santa Claus.
Yes.
Or he's Santa dead Claus. Or something. He's a ghost this whole time.
Right.
I mean, you wanted something to happen.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You guys, what was the question?
Queer menace.
I would give it like 1.
A 1, tough but fair.
I'm going to go 0, unfortunately.
0. I'll go 1 for Franklin. He did take like those photos and it was so like he took the photos and when you see the photos he took, they were clearly taken from like 3 feet away.
Right. Get a good lens, Mark.
Yeah, you those lenses it. Don't work like that.
They do.
Yes, they do. They literally do.
This is the definition of a lens.
They were like eye level and he was like down and it made no sense. It got a 0.67, pretty low in queer minutes. All right, the next one. Character actress makes a big swing. I don't know.
I mean, she does. Vanessa Hudgens does play two parts.
Do we call her a character actress? No. Do you feel like get her for character parts?
She did play more.
Her and Anne Dowd going out for the same role.
I feel like the only character actor in this must be that magical Scabbers guy.
Right. Or Mrs. Donatelli.
Thank you very much.
She looks like a woman I've done improv with, Mark. She looks like the
hello
most
character. Find me a Harold tape with no character actresses on it. Impossible. Yeah, but it's still pretty low. And there's also like not a
and
lot
also
of big
like swings.
Yeah, no swings at all. Absolutely. No acting choices were made in this movie.
Mostly bunts.
Yeah. Yeah, I would give this a 1.
A 1.
I'll go, you know, I'm going to go 1 because that old lady at the piano when they were at that, not retirement home, but that like, she made me laugh. So I'll go 1 for her.
1. And I will also go 1, giving it an average of 1.
What on earth did she do to make you laugh?
Just that she was like, she felt like she was a cartoon in this otherwise bland movie. She was so like, I'm singing the song by the, like, she was so like big and broad and just like, like she was acting as if she was on stage. And she's like, well, there are people who bought tickets in the back of the theater.
Right,
they
right.
need to see the show as well. Yeah. They need to know. Yeah.
I'm playing a piano. Otherwise, people will wonder, where's this music coming from? And leave the theater. All right. Our next category, witches. How witchy is this?
Oh.
Well,
I wish there had been more mad. That guy is a little bit witchy, sure.
Yeah, he's witchy.
He's pretty witchy.
I wish there had been some sort of like, I wish things were different and they reached for an ornament at the same time and swapped instead of there just being two.
Oh,
women.
Like a Freaky Friday.
Like like a royal curse.
Exactly.
Oh.
So yeah, I'll give this a 2 out of 10 for witchiness.
2 out of 10. The royal curse, is that called the paparazzi?
Thank you. I don't think anyone's really witchy in this.
What about you were terrified of the time traveling pedophile?
That's true. But I feel like he's more of a warlock. But all right, I'll give it a 1.
A warlock is a male witch, John.
For the time traveling pedophile.
I'll give it a 2 for witchy. Give it a 1.67. All right, next one. Gay actors playing gay roles. Now, I looked up the man who played Franklin.
Okay.
Mark Fleischman. It doesn't look like he's gay. And also, he retweeted the guy who did that Robin Williams audition piece that was really weird on Twitter, where he's like, did you ever see that Twitter video like a month ago?
Yeah.
Where this guy's like doing a Robin Williams impression the day he found out John Belushi was dead. It like went viral for a little bit, right, and it was so terrible. Oh. But the worst people were retweeting it. And Mark Fleischman, who played Franklin, retweeted it.
No,
he retweeted it sincerely. Oh. No gay person would do that.
No.
Okay.
So in my book, that means he's straight. He called it amazing and strange. So I don't think there were any gay actors playing gay roles in this.
No. Oh, there's no gay roles, first of all.
Yeah.
No.
So we can't have this category at all. Zero.
Zero.
We have to eliminate this category. I will also give it a 0.
I too will give it a 0. All right, our next one. Themes of mothers.
Themes of mothers. Wow, there's almost no mention of mothers.
Well, the kid wants like a new mom at one point.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But it doesn't like change or motivate the plot in any way.
No.
There's also that weird moment where the queen like overhears her son like, oh, he has chemistry. He's like flirting. Right. And like she smiles.
Oh,
my mother has never smiled at me. Like, I don't know if my mother's ever
smiled. My mother's never smiled at me.
No, I just mean in terms of like, oh, he's like got chemistry with somebody. That's
fun.
But
Mark, I thought she was smiling because in that moment, the conversation, he was like, oh, when I was a child, we grew up doing this. I'd get so excited. I thought she was being like, oh, he's reminiscing.
Oh, yeah, I get all the credit for that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He's talking about me, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to marry me.
You're welcome. He's going to marry me. That's the princess. Switch her with me, his mother. I'm a lunatic.
Yeah, not heavy on the mother theme. I'll give it 1.
No. 1.
I'll give it a 0.5.
0.5, brutal.
You can do that?
You can do that. That's how math works. I'll give it a 1. Give an average of 0.83, which is indeed the lowest and 10 times lower than Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which got an 8.33.
Wow.
Just move that decimal point. All right. Next. Drinks thrown in faces. Oh, Brianna does spill.
Oh, that's Stacey's apron.
But when she spilled on her apron, like, why are you changing your apron? That's what an apron is for. You idiot.
And again, the fact that she would have to leave and go buy herself a new one when all of the contestants were wearing identical aprons. Like,
right,
there's a producer somewhere here, babe. Just ask.
She's done too many like regional things. She's not used to this like high level productions.
Right. We've all brought our own wardrobe. Mm-hmm.
I guess it gets a 1 then because it was close to the face, but it was on the apron. It was like the nicest way you could pour a drink on someone.
Now who's spilling berries?
Well, because that's like hair and makeup. Exactly. Was like, we don't have time to redo her makeup for every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will give it a 2 because I also thought the moment where she like clipped her little the electrical cord for her mixer felt like a drink in a face. So I'll give it a 2 for that.
It did feel that way. That was such a cartoonish moment too. She shows up in all black with like almost a cape at night, snipping her scissors.
It's like there's no one that the set is open. She could just waltz in. No one's there.
The security on this international Christmas baking competition is appalling. All right, finally, the last of the bonus categories, quips. How quippy is the Princess Switch?
This is so devastating, you guys. I'm so sorry I chose this movie. The only quip we ever had was sauces, berries. And then people said a million times, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
Right. Isn't even quoting John Lennon quip. Is not a quip.
No. There was a woman after that amateurish Carol of the Bells piano duet. There was one woman who went, bravo.
And I thought, you thought that was a quip?
Wow, we're in dire straits here.
I was just thinking like, well, that's something I would say, like, you know, I could see myself repeating like, bravo, in her specific tonality.
So next time you say bravo, you're going to say, get it from the princess?
Get it? Guys, you all get it, guys, right? I don't need you.
We're all young enough here to get it.
I'm going to give it a 1.
A 1.
I'm going to give it a 0.
0. What about when she says beautiful weather to the king and he goes, if one is a fan of frostbite.
I forgot.
So funny.
British quips.
Or John's giving it a 0.
Bulgovian quips.
I'll give it a 1. Giving it a 0.67, which is the lowest. All right, now we are into the iconic stories.
So these categories are sort of larger, broader, more umbrella categories. So we're scoring these from 0 to 200.
My God.
All right. The first one is homoeroticism. How homoerotic is the Princess Switch?
I did think it got a little bit lesbian steamy when he was taking pictures of the twins through the window.
Right? Like, it's like okay. Very Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. So I'm going to give that. I mean, there's the undertone of having two identical beautiful women who are also like keep insisting that they're not really that related. Like keep trying to be like, right. Well, we might be distantly related.
No one said you were definitely related. You're being so defensive.
I'm going to give it like 28.
28.
I'm going to give it a 6.
6. Well, also, like, I thought, like, during, like, teaching each other, like, how to be each other, like, these twins very, like, it's almost like a Call Me By Your Name-ish energy.
Yes.
This is how I walk. Now you walk how I walk.
Yeah. And you wear my silk jammies.
Yeah.
And you make out with my boyfriend.
Now you curl my hair or something.
Here's some hairspray.
I'll give it a 18. Given an average of 17.33. You know, I'm gonna, that's too high. I'm going to give it a 6. I regret it. Given it a 13.33. All right, our next one. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch this and come away with a whole book of ideas?
It's rough. Three. The only thing, I thought that Pink and Pearls number that Lady Margaret first appears in, I was like, oh, that's fun, but that was kind of it.
That's it. Or maybe or the ball like, gown, horse riding outfit. Or right. The ball gown also was very like Christmas holiday special edition Barbie outfit.
And there's like tiara that's sort of like we see a lot.
Right.
And you know, anytime anyone wears a tiara, they go, oh, Princess Switch.
They're like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Princess Switch.
Yeah. So this is out of 200, you said, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So inspiration, I'm gonna say like 15.
15.
I'll go 30.
So you don't want to go to my Princess Switch themed drag show.
I mean, I'll go, but you're going to have to say that it's explicitly Princess Switch. Otherwise, no one's going to know what it is.
We constantly will. And it's a $200 cover. I hope that's okay.
You said you'd go, though. He's already sold you a ticket.
Shit. Okay, but I would believe that you guys were twins.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me nip that in the bud. John gave it a 30. I'll give it a 28. Oops, so what did I write? 38. 28. Given an average of 24.33, which is 1 point higher than Switchmas, aka Ira Finkelstein's Christmas, aka All I Want is Christmas. Finally, nice. The last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is this movie?
Out of 200?
Out of 200.
I'm inclined to say 100.
100 is right down the middle of camp.
I think it's a camp idea, but it's so just under everything, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like
no
a
one
sugar
goes that
cookie
crazy.
With no like sugar crunch, like coated
like
on the
fake
outside.
Sugar. Yeah.
It's like a Diet Coke of movies.
The Diet Coke of movies. I will give it a, I'll give it a 50.
50. All right, I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Calling a bakery with an order for City Hall, a best kept secret, overly expository dialogue, fake country names, entering a European Christmas baking competition out of spite, supporting a royal family, a little girl deciding a room full of working stoves and ovens is the best place to practice ballet, switching places with the princess to ensure your goddaughter's admission to a switching places with the princess to ensure your goddaughter's admission to a prestigious ballet school is a little bit Lori Loughlin. A makeover montage overstaying its welcome. Learning to do hairspray. Going cross-eyed for comedic effect. Going all goo-goo-eyed over the book The Little Prince as an adult. Making your own Christmas ornaments. A preteen girl getting excited that her dad fell on top of a woman. Getting stopped on the street. Reporter from Food Insider magazine, feeling faint in a toy store, believing it's not very dignified for a royal to wrap a present, watching Netflix in a Netflix movie, a Christmas stocking with the word chocolate on it, sabotaging a baking competition, and finally, Stacy's Christmas castle cake is more cake than castle. I'll give it a 64.
Wow, that was gorgeous.
Thank you. Given an average of 71.33, which is 11.33 points higher than the House of Yes. I can see that.
Okay.
All right. Finally, we're into the crown jewels. This is it.
So these categories, we're not rating. We just say yes or no. We think it gets it.
Okay.
All right. This one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
No debate.
No debate. And finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, no. So it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, that's it. We're done.
We've done it. So now, Lisa, now that we've been through it all, how do you think Princess Switch, did?
Well, I'm like really upset because I wish I would have picked something, but I feel like this should get an award for lowest, because I feel like for a lot of these categories, it was the lowest that you had. So it deserves its own kind of upside down trophy.
Okay.
A kind of like a quirky, goofy kind of trophy.
But it also just really showed that it's like, no, because if it was quirkier and goofier, it would be do better. So I would say it wins the award for like most boring, stupid, bad movie.
It's like a blue ribbon that we found in the trash.
Yeah, like not right. Bad enough to be fun. Just
it's got misspellings, so we had to send it back. But you can have
yes.
It.
Yes.
It's also one of those movies you can leave for like 30 minutes while it's on, come back, and you'll be fine.
You miss nothing.
Yes,
you'll exactly. Miss nothing.
You could go build some toilet furniture even.
As we've learned.
Yes.
All right. Well, I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,071.59 points, The Princess Switch has scored 576.92, giving a percentage of 27.85, making it the 121st gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Julie and Julia, but gayer than Just Friends.
Oh, Just Friends is not as gay?
No.
I'm shocked to hear that.
That makes sense.
It had a lot of gay panic jokes in that.
Ryan Reynolds is no Vanessa Hudgens.
This
I was
is
thinking
true.
Ryan Reynolds being like shirtless Hollywood guy. I haven't seen it in a really long time.
Is You're he not
shirtless that
much
in it? I don't remember.
I thought like he was trying to like show off his new body. I thought that was it. Like the whole
he used to be overweight.
Yeah.
Right.
He was schlubby and now he's doing hate crimes with his brother.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm. Well, that's it, Lisa. Are you gonna watch the other two while you make toilet furniture?
It's holiday season.
I mean, if there's three Vanessa Hudgies, I can't pass it up.
Who could refuse? If only there were four in the third one. Those idiots. Well, Lisa, is there a delightful guest? Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, Fairview kicking off the new year in 2022 and at the Lisa Gilroy on all your socials.
Yeah, got an essential follow, I would say.
Oh, nice.
And a near friend, as I was.
And a near friend.
She's got a callback.
One day, we'll see. Yeah, I have some sides for you.
On a veil.
How would you be at a movie? How would you be at a cafe?
And it's not an improvised. You're going to give me sides for this.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not an improvised. Well, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Jewel Queens, TWO Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd where I'm in the current movie rankings.
Yes, so you can email us at TWOOldQueens, TWOOldQueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, if you've got anything wrong. If you've seen the Princess Switch 2 or 3, let us know if they're worth checking out.
We also have a Patreon.
Yes.
You can follow that at patreon.com/TWOOldQueens to get an extra episode, 2 episodes every month.
Yes.
You just and we double also the episodes.
Just double the episodes. We also have merch if you go to TeePublic and search for TWOOldQueens. It's a lot of fun stuff. It's not too late to get those last minute Christmas gifts for yourself and your loved ones, and a percentage
it
of all
definitely
the
is
well, you could order it and print out a receipt, and a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project, so you're not just buying merch, you are helping people out.
And that's it. We'll see you next time for a New Year's Eve movie. The last when we're going to watch Phantom Thread is our New Year's Eve movie, so we'll see how gay that is.
Several weeks of really basic movies and now the Phantom Thread, so a real palate cleanser,
a roller coaster.
Indeed.
We'll see you next time, everybody. Yes. Stay safe. Goodbye.
And may all your Christmases be whatever color you want them to be.
I thought it was bright.
And may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Wow.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.